You are listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.
So we've gone through, we've done a little bit of our history, right? We talked about early Luther, where he had to put aside what he'd been taught as a child and break with his father and everything like that. And then we talked about how he had that time of internal growth, where he was realizing things were different. He didn't see the world the way he used to see it anymore. He didn't believe that the things he'd been taught were true, and that was kind of all happening internally. And then finally, and this was what we talked about last week, is when you have to kind of come clean, where you have to take what's inside and say, well, this is what I believe, this is what I think. Now let's talk about it. And so today is actually the day that we celebrate Reformation Day. Imagine the upheaval in people's lives, in their world, in their way of looking at things. I don't know if you've ever had to undo a belief you were taught as a child, especially like a very strong one. I'm not talking about Santa Claus. I'm talking about like major beliefs. Do you believe that people, for instance, are generally trustworthy or generally not trustworthy? That would be something that you would, your family of origin wouldn't even teach it to you. It would be part of the subtext of your life. And you would be learning through, just like by absorbing through your parents. That's the way the world is. So imagine Martin Luther and all these other people are raised in all this fear. They're raised to pray to different saints for different things, which is remarkably similar to the Roman and Greek pantheons, to begin to have these different people you pray to get different things. And they're raised with the fear of God's wrath, and they're raised to believe that the church is the one who can forgive or not forgive your sins. That the priest is the one who is determining your eternal fate by whether or not he gives you the sacraments. The sacraments hold or withhold forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And so they're raised with this fear. This is the way they've been taught the whole world is. And now they're coming to a new belief. Can you imagine the internal tension that people would feel as they start to say, maybe my eternal destiny is not in the hands of the priest who will or won't give me the sacraments. Maybe that's not true. But what if I'm wrong about that not being true? Then what? See, it's a tense place to be where you're trying to figure out what's what and what you believe. And that's what's going on with the Reformation, is they're trying to figure it out. They're like, trying to figure out what to believe in. And as everybody studied and taught, they arrived at three basic principles. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the three, they're called solas, because sola means alone. And so they came up with three things that they said, listen, as we've studied and prayed and talked and chewed on things together, we come up with three basic things that drive this Reformation and that push it where it's going to go. The first is grace alone. We are saved by grace through faith. The second of the solas is faith. It's simply trusting in God. You don't work your way into God's favor. You trust God's declaration of your forgiveness. And the third one is Scripture. Scripture alone is what's going to determine what we believe, or at least what consciences are bound by. So, the first one, grace alone, sola gratia, one of the three solos. We are saved by grace, by the grace of God alone. Here's what one of their documents has to say about it. It's called the Formula of Concord. We must by all means cling rigidly to the firm and firmly to the fact that as the proclamation of repentance extends over all men, so does the promise of the gospel that Christ has taken away the sin of the world. And so the Reformers taught that contrary to what the Catholic Church was teaching, that they withhold or hand out forgiveness, that it's grace alone. It's that God's love is like the rain. It's flowing over the whole world. It's not restricted by color or gender or nationality. There's no mediator between, Christ is the mediator, but there's no mediator between Christ and the people. There's nobody who gets to ration God's love, forgiveness, and grace. It's just coming, it's going, it's coming, it's coming. And what this means for us is, what it means is that in this world, the word, the idea of being worthy is a big idea of whether or not you're worthy of something, whether or not you earned something, earned a promotion, earned the love of the person you are wooing, whatever. We have this very big sense of worthiness or unworthiness. And the sola gratia, grace alone, rejects the idea, the whole idea of worthiness. It rejects salvation based in any way on our merit. So it's not saying you are worthy or not worthy. It's saying that worthiness is not the right word for our relationship at all. It's just like, I say this all the time, but I'm in good company because Jesus said it. It's just like a father or a mother with kids. The idea that a kid would even enter into and use the language of worthy as part of the family, there's no response to it because that's not what family's about. That's not what love is about. So worthiness it's like saying, have you stopped beating your wife lately? It's just the wrong question. You know, it's the idea of are you worthy is filled with underlying assumptions that paint an entirely wrong view of God. Sola gratia means that you are loved, period. You are worth everything to God because he showed it by sending Jesus to die for us. You are worth everything, and it's all out of love and grace. There's no sense of merit or worth. And that's how God looks at us. That's what sola gratia is about. It's about God's attitude, God's reflection toward us, God's way of looking at us. So that's sola gratia. The next one is sola fide, faith alone. And this is how we look at God. This is the way that we reflect on and connect with God. And it is by faith alone. We are saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Here's a document. Got to have a document. We're doing Reformation Day. This is called the Augsburg Confession. Our churches also teach that men cannot be justified by God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith, when they believe they are receiving favor and their sins are forgiven on account of Christ, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. And if anybody mouths off your assignment, it's going to be a diagram that sentence. That's a doozy. This faith God imputes for righteousness. So God calls us righteous when we are trusting Him. When we are trusting Him. So God's vision of us is grace. He just looks on us with grace and love and forgiveness in Jesus. Our way of looking at God is faith. It's trust. It's not analyzing our works to see if we're good enough or whatever. It's simply trusting in God. And faith is a different way of living. When we say it's by faith alone, we throw out the idea of whether or not a person is good enough. That's the wrong question. He is a good person. It's not part of the salvation thought of Lutheran Christianity. So we live this life by faith. We trust what God said about us because of what Jesus did. And that requires us to step forward in our lives in ways that might be uncomfortable or difficult, because faith Once you place your trust in God, that changes the way you look at everything else in the world and how you interact with everything else in the world. And you end up having to do things and say things and step into situations that you might not otherwise step into. And it's because you trust that God is in the situation and working. It's kind of like this. You might recall this scene. In the end,
we can judge this.
Indeed. And you must hurry. Come quickly.
Yes, and get across this canyon.
It's a leap of faith. But you must believe, boy. You must.
Step out onto a bridge you couldn't see. And faith can be like that. And faith isn't like naive living, but faith also trusts that God is working. And there's no way to see that God is working without stepping out into what God is doing. And that can be very scary, like Indiana Jones experience there. Fun life right in kind of way. But so the idea, because this idea of trying to be worthy, it comes back into our lives and our minds all the time. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I anything? And that is what soul defeating throws out the window. You just trust God. You just trust God because of what Jesus has done. And that's the way it is. Sola fide rejects salvation based on anything we do at all. And that's why this is one of the three big solas. It's so important because the idea of works is so powerfully ingrained in our mind, and it's such a powerful tool of manipulation. If somebody else has the keys to your salvation, then they can pretty much get you to do anything they want. And between sola gratia and sola fide, the keys to your salvation are solely in God's hands, solely by grace, and solely by faith. And that removes people's ability to manipulate you. So it's just so important. The third one is Scripture alone. And this is sola scriptura. And what they had to decide is that the Bible alone is our authority. They had to decide that. Here's a, like I said, document, Formula of Concord again. We believe, teach, and confess that the sole rule and standard according to which all dogmas together with all teachers should be estimated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and New Testament alone, as it is written in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And St. Paul wrote, Though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. So, they had to decide. They had to decide what their base of deciding what to believe was going to be. And if you talk to someone in the Eastern Church, they'll tell you that there's a little paradox here. Because it's the church that selected what would be in the Bible, right? The Bible didn't fall from the sky. The Bible is a collection of writings, and especially when we get to the New Testament. Well, the whole thing is a collection of writings over like 1,800 years. But the New Testament is collection of letters and other books, writings, and it, over time, from the time they started writing them, about 50 AD to about 100 AD, all these things were written, and there's more things written too, but the church decided which of these things would be the canon, which would be the official teachings of the church. And so now the reformers come along, and it's 1,500 years later, and they're deciding that the original documents that the church decided on would be the documents that they're going to look to for guidance, for ultimate and authoritative guidance. So there's a little bit of a circularity there, because they're rejecting the church and going back to the documents the church selected in the beginning. But what else could they do? The early church, the people closest to Christ, selected these documents as the canon of Scripture for us to follow. And so the reformers recommended reading all sorts of things, but they always thought the Bible was different. And so that's where we get this idea of sola scriptura. It's not just Scripture for teaching. It's that Scripture is the authority. And I will tell you this. Sola scriptura, Scripture alone, doesn't solve all the problems and ambiguities. And I think that just the number of denominations that we have now tells us. And they all say, we're the Bible believers. We're the Bible believers. We're the Bible believers, right? So just being sola scriptura doesn't solve every problem in the Christian's life. It doesn't eliminate every ambiguity of meaning. But what it does do is give us a common base. It gives us an authoritative base to rest on. At least we have a common talking point. We believe that the Bible alone is normative for what we believe. It's the authority. So there's your history lesson. Now I want to make it practical. So there's you. Does that look like you? Okay. Looks like something. So these three things, remember, this is huge, right? People's whole lives are being upended. People are being threatened with death. Martin Luther was threatened with death. And these three things, sola gratia, sola fide, and sola scriptura, faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, are the three guiding principles they came up with to carry them through this tumultuous, difficult time. And so I believe that these three principles are powerful for us today as well, to guide us through tumultuous and difficult times. So this is you going through life in your tumultuous, difficult time, or not. Maybe you're having a fine time. And it always starts with grace from God. That's where it all starts. That's where it always starts. That's what I read to the judge and to you, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't doing anything to God. God reached down to us. That's where it always starts. Now, how do we apply sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura to our lives? Well, if the grace comes down from God, it doesn't come down to have no effect. It comes down to change our life, our worldview, the way we look at other people and everything else. So here's some other people here. If the grace comes down to us, Jesus made it so clear, that when the grace comes to us, our job as people who are followers of Christ is to give grace to other people. Accept one another as God has accepted you in Christ Jesus. And so, well, here's what I want you to do. This is assignment number one. Think of those three. Look at those three people right there. And think of somebody in your life. And what I want you to do is you have to turn off your brain for a moment. And you turn on your heart. I'm not telling you not to think at all, obviously. But what I want you to do is ask yourself this question with your heart, not with your head. Because if you ask with your head, you're going to say, of course everybody needs grace. What I'm asking you to do is ask with your heart, which of those people around you, who around you needs grace from you? See, if you answer with your head, you're just going to go, well, everybody. I'm asking you with your heart. Who around you needs grace from you. Maybe you've shut them off because you're angry or you're hurt or whatever. And you've held it back. You've held back the love. You've held back the grace. Who needs that from you? Who needs you to reach out with grace? Or, another way to look at it, who around you is broken, or suffering, or hurting? Who needs a word of grace? Ask your heart. The second thing is faith. I would like you to think of faith as something that's going to grow bigger and wider the longer you walk. Because I think maybe one of the best words for faith is actually worldview. It's the way you see everything. Not just, of course, the core of it is God's grace that's come down in Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again for our forgiveness. That's the core of it. But that changes the way you look at everything and the way you treat everybody. So I think that faith has to become the air you walk through and the ground you walk on and what you see in the sky. It's the way you move through the whole world. Because what do you believe about God? Do you believe that God is at work or not? Do you believe that God is at work or not? Do you believe that God is at work or not? If God is at work, then he's at work. And you can move through everything. Trusting that God is at work. That doesn't mean it's going to come out the way you want it to. But it means that you're safe. It means you're safe in God's hands. It means that nothing anybody could do is what Paul said. Nothing anyone could ever do can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Some people are facing some pretty tough things. Some difficult things. Some things where the outcome is either unknown or it's pretty well known and it's not going to be easy. Faith becomes the air we breathe and the way we walk through life. Trusting that we are safe in God's hands and acting on that. Scripture. Where does sola scriptura fit into this? Right there. Right in the middle. Because you need somewhere to turn. Because our minds, they start going off in all sorts of different ways, in all sorts of different places. And that doesn't mean some of those places aren't right and good and true. Paul said, whatever's right, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's good, think about those things. He didn't just say scripture. But the scripture is what provides a touchstone for everything else. Everything else that you come to believe about life, the universe, and everything has to be normed, has to be measured against, has to be filtered through the scriptures in order for it to be a trustworthy and true way to live your life. Grace, faith, and scripture. I think they're pretty good. I think they're pretty good back then. They carried the reformers through. And I think grace, faith, and scripture are pretty good for us too. Whether or not we're kind of at a nice, easy time, or we're walking through a very good time. I think grace, faith, and scripture, the Reformation solas, are good for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have, I believe that you gave the church a great course correction in the Reformation, and I'm so thankful for it. So thankful that you, through Martin Luther and the other reformers, brought to life again that truth that we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not by our works. So I want to ask you for me and for all of us that these three touchstones of the Reformation could be touchstones in our life too. That we could see you as looking at us with grace alone and letting that grace drive us to be people of grace with those around us. Help us to trust you, to love us and to be working. Help us see our relationship with you as simply one of trust and faith. And help us to absorb the scriptures, to learn the scriptures, to use the scriptures to guide us in all the days of our life. Like the psalmist said, that your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. So let that be, Lord. Help us to live in grace and faith according to the scriptures. In Jesus' name. So Matthew's going to sing us a song. And I'm going to give you some things to think about while Matthew sings us. Is there a part of you that needs grace today? Maybe that's what you need yourself, is the message of grace from God. Or is there someone in your life that needs grace from you? And do you have enough faith? Do you have enough trust in God's working to offer the grace where it doesn't seem natural? And number three, how, and try and be concrete on this one. Not just sort of la la, but like you should be able to write some things down. How do the scriptures guide your words and actions day in?
Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.